6 minutes after 11 o'clock. This is News Talk 610 CKTV. Joining us now on the program, never sorry to hear from her, Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant down in London, Ontario. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am excellent. And one thing we wanted to talk about, and you've talked about it before, but I found a couple of great articles that really put it all together in terms of probiotics and our gut, that we're getting more and more of a connection. You've always referred to, you know, the gut is referred to, not just you, but the gut is referred to as the second brain. Mm-hmm. But how much of our health is gut health? Having a healthy gut leads to having, but I mean, we're at the mercy of bacteria.
That's right. We're actually bacteriosapiens. I mean, this is what we are. This is what makes us human.
We are basically a carrier for billions of bacteria.
That's right. That's right. And they've known for a long, long time the relationship between the gut and the brain, the gut and our health, the gut and our mood. I mean, I have quotes going back to the 17, 1800s written by physicians at the time acknowledging this very important relationship to healthy gut ecology and even our mood. So, I mean, if you'd like, I have a quote here from Dr. Philippe Pinel. He's known as the father of modern psychiatry, and he lived between 1745 and 1826. And he said that the primary seat of insanity lies generally in the region of the stomach and the intestines. So it goes back into a deep history where they knew that there was a strong connection with our mental health and the gut ecology. And the articles that you sent me, Tom, are fascinating because they're citing some research, some very new and exciting research to validate even old beliefs that stem from centuries ago.
Now, of course, obviously the digestive tract, you know, obviously the gut has a role in our digestive system. We know that. We know that, you know, the bacteria in our gut help break down and help us metabolize what we ingest. But there's also a role, we're finding more and more of a role for the gut in our immune system, but also in our emotional or psychological makeup as well, is critical on how our gut is functioning, which to me is so fascinating.
Right. And in the article you sent me, they touch on the theory that, you know, when you have good gut flora, this helps support the production of our happy neurotransmitter, serotonin. And most of our serotonin is actually produced in our gut. I think a lot of people, and it is produced in the brain, but a lot of people just think it's isolated and it's produced in the brain only. But it is produced in the gut as long as we have healthy gut flora. So the idea is that people who are learning about the importance of balancing gut flora is that they're taking supplements like probiotics, or they're eating things like high-quality kefir or yogurt in order to help replenish or support the gut flora. And this is a good initiative. This is definitely a good initiative for people to do. But this is a rather complex subject, though. I mean, it's very difficult for people to normalize gut flora. This is the challenge, Tom.
Now, on the extreme end, and we've had, and in London, I don't know how familiar you are in London, but we've had an extreme case of bad gut flora known as C. difficile, where dozens of people died from this illness they got from a hospital because, it's not just a matter of, oh, people had it and spread it. It's because, you know, when given antibiotics, wipe out everything in your gut, good right. or bad, and then when a bad bug takes over, it has these terrible
side effects. Yeah,
there's no competition there. Mm-hmm. So we know the extreme on how bad gut flora, you know, is, and then we have yogurt makers, or you can take capsules. But how many different types of bacteria are in our gut?
Oh, I don't think they know. I just don't think they know.
Okay, so it's not 10.
This is a relatively new science.
It's hundreds, probably.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And they're looking at, in the article you sent me from the New York Times, written by Michael Pollan, he's talking about some, researchers are thinking that because of our junk food diet, that some of the types of bacteria that used to be in our gut are no longer. So essentially, they're alluding to the fact that some of the friendly organisms could be extinct. And again, I don't know how they'd be able to prove that, because they'd have to do autopsies on people from years and years ago with viable strains to test. But essentially, since the degradation of our diet has been going on over the last 100 years, of course we've seen more and more digestive difficulties in general, whether it has to do with bloating, gas, whether it has to do with heartburn, diarrhea, whatever the case may be, we're seeing so much digestive distress happening in society today. And this is really very recent in our human history.
Well, just think about, we have, maybe because, now I don't know in terms of if it's genetic, whether there are, you know, when you think of Northern Europeans, where you and I came from, have less susceptibility to lactose intolerance. You know, there's a genetic component, but I mean, think about how much we hear about lactose intolerance and also gluten intolerance.
But the lactose intolerance actually is kind of a myth in the sense that because you and I are of European descent, we've had thousands of years actually to adapt to
right.
high-quality farm-fresh dairy products.
You and I have no problem, but I'm sure there are cultures around the world that aren't, you know,
well,
don't
sure,
have that natural.
That didn't adapt to dairy,
yeah.
for some Asian cultures, for example. But the thing about dairy products is that we have, you know, adulterated dairy so much so to the point that it becomes indigestible and uncomfortable in the digestive tract. So when I get people to switch to farm fresh raw dairy, they tend to do much, much better, especially if the dairy is pre-digested in the form of some sort of fermented dairy like yogurt or kefir, for example. Then people tend to do fine on dairy. But the other element to dairy, why people tend to not tolerate it today, isn't just due to the lack of the quality of the dairy. It has a lot to do with the fact that their digestive system is just so incredibly weak because of things like poor gut ecology that they have trouble breaking down the dairy. So we have a twofold issue going on here. And I think people believe that this lactose intolerance is a life sentence when it actually isn't.
And then, of course, we have the rise of celiac disease and how the proliferation of gluten-free products.
Right. But again, that has to do with the quality of the grain. The grain should be pre-digested. Grain
okay.
should be soaked and fermented. That's why we, in many cultures all around the world, have things like sourdough bread. So grain needs to be pre-digested before consuming it, because otherwise it's very hard to break it down. And then the other element there, too, is the same issue I brought up with dairy, is that our digestive systems are so incredibly weak that we can have trouble even digesting sourdough bread. There is published research, Tom, to show that even people with celiacs can tolerate sourdough bread when it's, you know, authentic sourdough bread. And I don't think that would be absolute across for everybody with celiacs, but some people with celiacs can tolerate the pre-digested form of grain.
Pam Colleen is a nutritional consultant. She joins us every couple of weeks. Today we're talking about gut health and probiotics, the bacteria that you need in your gut. So when we come back, Pam, tell me ways in terms of rebuilding or maintaining a healthy gut. What are, because obviously, you know, with hundreds of types of bacteria, one brand of yogurt is not going to do it. Or one type of bacteria in a pill, well, it may be beneficial, you know, obviously it's not going to be the be all and end all. So tell me the variety of foods that you need that you know, we are, that maybe we don't eat. I mean, it was great you talking about organ meat a couple of weeks ago, but maybe tell us about, you know, for gut health, what we need to look at, where we need to get it, and to, for some, rebuild gut strength, and for others, for the rest of us, to maintain
absolutely
a healthy gut and what it means. So,
sure.
Pam Colleen, when we come back, talking about a healthy gut, 15 minutes after 11 o'clock. If you know someone with a gut issue, all right, if you got a gut feeling about somebody, or if they have digestive issues, and you're like, hey, you know what? Pam will tell you what you should be looking at, what you should be eating to help out your digestive system, but as well, help out your immune system and help out your emotional well-being as well. It's the second brain. It's the gut. We'll talk a little bit more about gut health when we come back. 16 minutes after 11 o'clock. This is News Talk 610 CKTV.
You're listening to Tom McConnell on News Talk 610 CKTV and online at 610CKTV.com. Call Tom McConnell now at 905-688-CKTV, 1-877-610-CKTV, or #610 on the Bell Mobility Network.
20 minutes after 11 o'clock, this is News Talk 610 CKTV. Nutritional consultant Pam Colleen joining us on the program talking about gut health, talking about how to make sure and maintain a healthy gut flora. With all the population of different bacterias out there, there's not one single source. Oh, that's what you do. Just get this pill. That's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, where do we get, you know, the good bacteria from?
Right. Ideally, what I like is for people to emphasize eating a lot of the lacto-fermented foods in their diet, because there's no guarantee that taking a probiotic will actually colonize in the gut. there's a lot of gray area when it comes to supplementing with probiotics. If people have the money and they want to spend it on probiotics, that's fine. There are some good products out there. You have to do a little digging to make sure that you do find a good quality probiotic. But fundamentally, if you do take a probiotic, you still need to give your gut the nesting material so that the probiotic is even interested in living in you. So those probiotic-rich foods would be things like high-quality raw sauerkraut. That would be lacto-fermented. And same thing with pickles, lacto-fermented pickles, and things like kefir and yogurt. These are some of my favorite lacto-fermented foods in terms of supporting your immune system, in terms of basically supporting your gut flora. And these are very inexpensive foods that act as medicine. So the pickles, the sauerkraut, the yogurt, the kefir, all of these foods you could make in your own kitchen. And so it really keeps the cost very, very low if you can spend the time to do that.
When we think about other fermented foods, don't laugh at me, but what about something along the lines of beer?
Well, then you have a different form of fermentation. There's about four different types of fermentation.
Okay.
So you have lacto-fermentation, which is what is done to make things like sauerkraut, kefir yogurt, and so on. And then you have another form of fermentation that makes things like vinegar. You have another form of fermentation that makes things like alcohol. So there's different forms of fermentation. Essentially, what I'm talking about mostly is the lacto-fermentation form. And that's where you're going to get a lot of the support for your gut flora. Now, I want to point out, Tom, this is very important. A lot of the yogurts that are sitting on your grocery store shelves are not really yogurt at all. They're actually pudding. So they're not as medicinal as the claims are, put out on the label. You have to really look hard to find a high-quality yogurt on the marketplace today.
And one that's fat-free is probably not it.
No, you definitely want the fat, because that's yet another reason why people think they're lactose intolerant. If I add a third reason to that list, I mentioned a couple earlier, but when the fat is removed from animal foods, it can cause a lot of tummy aches, a lot of digestive distress. You need that animal fat there in order to help support your digestion. Animal fat in the food will also help you absorb protein, absorb minerals, and so on. So you really don't want to eat low-fat dairy products. The dairy industry can make out like a bandit selling low-fat dairy products or reduced-fat dairy products, because they actually know the more they separate dairy, the more money they make. It doesn't make consumers healthier for it, though. That's the sad part of it all. So make sure if you're buying dairy products, even commercial dairy products, make sure that the dairy is as high a fat content as is humanly possible. So if you're buying milk for your children, make sure it's homogenized milk. The red labels, the one with the closer to 4% fat. So that's what you want to feed your kids. You don't want to feed your kids reduced fat or lowered fat dairy products. They desperately need that fat in terms of their growth and their development.
What about the conditions in the gut itself from an acidity standpoint? Should we make it more I know some bacteria thrive in a more acidic environment, some thrive in a more alkaline environment. Do you worry about the acid level or the pH level in the gut?
Well, you want your gut to be acidic, right? So the trouble is when people start getting sick, when they move towards sickness, the pH of the gut moves towards more alkaline pH, which is not what you want. You want your gut to be relatively acidic. Every part of your intestine has a different pH level. Your stomach has a different pH than your small intestine, which has a different pH than your large intestine. But essentially, all of the GI tract should be more on the acidic side. The most acidic part of the gut, of course, is going to be the stomach. But the problem is as we get sick, the pH actually elevates. It starts moving towards a more alkaline pH. And that's when you have organisms that are going to move in and make you very sick. So that's when you're going to overgrow things like candida or, parasites or whatever the case may be. So you become a very, very favorable host when the pH of your gut shifts. So you want to keep your gut relatively acidic. And the foods that I mentioned earlier are really going to help keep the acidity of the gut optimal. Because if you look, Tom, at the first four letters of one of the most prevalent strains of bacteria that lives in your gut, and that is the acidophilus, right?
Yeah.
A-C-I-D, A-C-I-D, the first four letters of the word acidophilus is acid, right? So it won't live if your gut is too alkaline. You need to keep nourishing and replenishing your gut to make sure that it is acidic. Now, That said, it's one of the issues that these articles you sent me do not address is this issue of pH. And it's very difficult to get the pH of the gut healthy when the adrenals are weak and when minerals are out of balance. And this is a whole can of worms. I don't want to spend too much time talking about it. It becomes very complicated. But essentially, when the adrenals are weak, this will weaken digestion and it will throw off mineral balance. And so you do not have people who have weak adrenals are not going to have the capacity to produce enough hydrochloric acid in their stomach. So this will compromise the pH of the gut from the stomach down. And this, too, will contribute to an imbalance in gut flora. So maybe we should do a whole other show on the adrenal glands, because I can't get somebody's digestion working properly again without addressing and helping to fix the adrenal function.
We got about 1 minute left. So just as a recap, in terms of trying to restore a healthy gut balance, what are some of the foods people should be looking for to start including in their diet?
Absolutely. On a daily basis, make sure you're eating raw sauerkraut, high quality pickles, yogurt, kefir. If you want, you can also include apple cider vinegar. Some of my clients take apple cider vinegar in water. They dilute it with a little bit of water, maybe about a half a tablespoon.
Okay.
And they take a little bit of apple cider vinegar before each meal in order to retrain the gut to be acidic. So it can really, really help with digestion, but it also helps to thin bile, which, Tom, is very, very difficult to have healthy bowel movements as long as people are not producing enough bile. That's a whole other show, but when you take apple cider vinegar, this is very, very supportive of bile function as well. So it's a really important component to add into the picture.
Pam Colleen, your web address, pamcolleen.com, for people who want to contact you. How do they send you an email?
They can email me at pam@pamcolleen.com, and there's a link on my website, which is just my name, pamcolleen.com, K-I-L-L-E-N, and they can email me through my website as well.
And of course, if you missed that or you couldn't write it down, you can always send me an email, and I will hook you up with Pam Colleen. Lots of great information on her website. Always a pleasure, Pam. I'm going to go look for, I don't know if I'll get pickles.
Get together with your kids and make some sauerkraut. It's a great science experiment for kids.
Maybe I'll do sauerkraut, because I do like sauerkraut on either a sausage or some sandwiches. It is a great addition, great flavor addition especially.
Absolutely. That's good for your gut.
Thanks, Pam.
Thanks, Tom.
28 minutes after 11 o'clock. News is next. When we come back.